All right. Bye, guy, everyone. This is Professor Amon Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, along with my co-host, Joe Henry. I'm just proud and happy to have the guests that we have today. Long-time activist, long-time organizer and entrepreneur, one of the most hardest working woman that I've ever met. And she's done so much for our community. Her name is Carmen Abdullah Muhammad. Carmen Abdullah Muhammad, she's the founder of Women Working Together, Incorporated, and Al-Nisa Design, is more than just a Muslim. Having a mother, loving mother, sister, and grandmother for over 20 plus years, she has been at the helm of organizing and producing events around the country with a focus on fashion. Carmen spent her young adult life growing up in Long Beach, California, to many a home where Long Beach, California, which is the home to many successful entertainers and professional athletes. Just to name a few, Extra TV host Tracy Edmonds, legendary rapper Snoop Lion, formerly known as Snoop Dogg, and many others. Over the years, Ms. Muhammad's list, high-profile clients like Tyrese Gibson, model, singer, and actor of the movie Fast and Furious, has earned her acclaim among her peers. Her roster of events and clients reads like a list of who among some of the country's most influential and powerful individuals. In August of 1992, she was nominated by the Beverly Hills Women Organization, Woman of Substance, as one of the most influential African-American women in the Los Angeles area for her work in the community, I just want to say this, Carmen Abdullah is one of the most active and organizing women from the Nation of Islam, and she's a strong sister. Matter of fact, me and her went to Muhammad Ali's house together. Her mother used to cook for Muhammad Ali, and Carmen interviewed him for her classic work when she formed what was called Kids Sports Beat, one of the first magazines aimed at young people, teenagers, and adults. She's interviewed Dave Parker. She's interviewed Tommy Hawkins. She's interviewed so many actors and entertainers. It's just been a pleasure when I worked with her, and I'm just proud of her. Her book, her magazine, Kids Sports Beat, was also used as a textbook in the course of exploitation of Black athletes at Cal State Long Beach when I was teaching. So without further ado, I'm gonna let Carmen come on in, make some comments about what she got going with regards to her fashion. They just had a major fashion show in Chicago. And that's where Sister Aminta, Queen Aminta, and her were working together. As well as she's been contracted in Dubai and other areas to put on a design. She designs and make Muslims women clothing as well as other material designer. I remember she had a big show in Long Beach with Spencer Haywood's ex-wife Iman. And it was just a fantastic show. So without further ado, we're going to let Sister Carmen tell you a little bit more about herself And then we're going to go to Sister Amina, who will also make some comments. Go ahead, Carmen.
Hey, good evening, and good evening to all of your guests. I am truly, truly humbled to join you all for this wonderful program. I'm very humbled, Brother Raw, by your words and all of the different things that you were sharing with the audience about the things that I've done. I am from the LBC. Long Beach is my home, but I currently live here in Chicago. I've been in Chicago for 18 years, but you know, when you're from the LBC, you're from the LBC, it's gonna always be home for you. So I'm very excited to be a part of your program, Amin-Ra, as it relates to minority women enterprises and business. As you stated, I've been someone who's been active in the community all of my young adult life and adult life period. I think it's very important that we are able to establish an economic beachhead for ourselves, looking at the current condition in which is going on here in this country with inflation and everything else. So it's an honor to be a part of your program. I am what you call an emerging modest designer. I've been blessed over the last 4 years to be a part of a lot of the major mainstream fashion weeks. As a matter of fact, one of my first appearances was in Torino, Italy, where I was the only Black designer to be a part of that fashion week and the only Black Muslim woman to ever walk a runway at a mainstream fashion week event. So that was a phenomenal event because what it does or what it did do is it put us on the map. You know, in fashion, I tell people all the time, there is no inclusion and there's no diversity. And that was one of the things that COVID really brought to the forefront. You never really hear about the talent that's within the Black community when it comes to designing and styling clothing. So I'm really honored to be able to do what I'm doing right now. I guess you could refer to me somewhat as an activist. And I say that because it's important for me to lift up all of the talented Black designers that exist and for us to bring ourselves together and to carve out a niche in this business of fashion. So that is what we're all about right now. I did just do a show here in Chicago, Illinois, and it was the second annual Modest Fashion Week to ever take place in the US. We had over 25 designers and over 20 international designers from all around the world. We had a whole crew of designers from Africa that a lot of them had to do it virtual. They couldn't get here due to visas. We had virtual designers from the Philippines. We had virtual designers from Iran. We had virtual designers from Dubai. So this was the first time that a Black woman has ever authored or put together a mainstream Fashion Week event. So I was really excited about that because what it did was it put a footprint in the business of fashion. And a lot of people have called me a disruptive individual because they say that I'm disrupting the fashion industry with the things that I'm doing as a Black designer. But I'm happy to be destructive and disruptive if it's going to bring about a whole nother level of unity with our people. So basically, that's it, Brother Raw.
Yeah, when you say design, what are some of the designs you focus on?
Yes, sir. Well, I am what a lot of my designs center around women's tailored suiting. I do all levels of fashion. I do ready to wear. I do luxury fashion. But what I'm known for is my women's tailored suiting. High-end luxury clothing and a lot of couture pieces. So that's kind of what I do when I design clothing.
Okay, well, We also have here co-host Joe Emery, longtime educator for Compton Unified and Linwood, and historian. And when we say historian, that means he studied our history, not for grades, you know, because of his love for history and his love of our people, and for the speak truth to power and speak truth to the people. So he'll be asking you some questions also.
Sure.
The other thing is Sandra Henderson Queen of Minta?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You want to make some comments, sister?
Oh, I was invited by Linda Shorter from Tampa, Florida. I want to make a comment on what the sister said. I really enjoyed what she added. And nowadays, we black women, we're too much looking like the world. And we need to pull out from the colonizer dress code and develop our own dress code. So I know, I love what she's doing. Thank you.
Praise God.
Sister Queen Aminia, she is an entrepreneur in the Merck Park, where there's been a lot of challenges, a lot of attempts to close the park down. People, Asians used to try to buy all the businesses up. Marla Gibbs used to have a couple of businesses there, and now, you know, that's the center where we used to have major conferences and major rally points to discuss issues in the Black community. So Sister Aminta is working with Subway with Damon Harris. They buying property as a group. Matter of fact, according to Damon, they were going to buy the Toll Experience and a number of other places and set up low-income houses for Black people. And they're doing that. So, Sandra, you want to comment on that? Queen Aminta. Are you there, Queen Aminta? Okay, she can't come back in right now. Well, Carmen, now you're in Chicago, and I know the challenges for Black women to open up businesses is very challenging. What are some of the challenges y'all face with regards to trying to get the appropriate recognition and money to open up your businesses?
Okay, well, first of all, my business, right, most of the time that I've spent for the last 6 years, I've spent it on building my brand. You know, part of fashion is very important for people to be able to know who you are as a brand. And that called for me to do what I was doing in an international and a global way. Because as you know, here in the US, you know, we have our challenges, you know, as a people in terms of, you know, being able to get investors and sponsors and people like that. And that was one of my first experiences I had was when I was in Italy. I financed my whole trip to Italy. And when I got there, the other emerging modest designers that were there were from all around the world. And one of the things that I was very, it just kind of took me by surprise was that most of these women were being financed either by their country or they had a major investor behind them. The business of fashion is not an easy business. It really takes almost $500,000 just to launch a collection properly, to set up marketing, to set up all of that. So for me, Professor Raw, I've decided to take a different route. I am going to be opening up a luxury online store, which is going to allow me to utilize any of the outreach that I've established on a global level and an international level. And it will also allow me to tap into the US. I think that one of the biggest challenges for me has been, number one, the branding and the marketing. And that's because when you look at the business of fashion, a lot of what you see comes through media print. And that's why I said there is no inclusion and there is no diversity. in the business of fashion where minority designers are concerned. Because in order to be out there and to be out front, people have to know who you are. They have to know your brand. So that's one of the biggest challenges that I think that we face as minority emerging designers in this industry. The other thing that is a hurdle for us to get over is the financial investors and the people, they're just not there for a business like this. So for me, those were the two biggest things that I've had to navigate around. But the thing about social media and the thing about an online presence is that it levels the playing field. It really does, because it gives you the kind of outreach and the kind of marketing capability that you would normally have to put $100,000 or $200,000 into. So for me, the biggest challenge has been branding and having solid investors to get behind you and to believe in your product.
Okay, good. If people want to see some of your designs and some of your shows and things, isn't that you have a website or you have an email?
I have a Facebook page. I established a group under Women Working Together, Inc., and that is a page that's dedicated to the collective. It's not just really about Alnisa Designs. Alnisa Designs represents the women, the emerging Black designers, the women. I chose that name because it's the fourth chapter of the Holy Quran. And it talks about the rights of the woman. And that is what I stand for. I stand for the evolution of women coming together and building conglomerates that will allow us to be able to integrate into these industries like fashion. They can go to my Instagram page, which is al_Nisa_designs. Or they can go to my Facebook page and look under Carmen Camilla Abdullah Williams, or they can go to our Women Working Together Facebook page, which gives you a broad overview of what we're trying to do. This is a movement, Brother Raw. It's a real movement. And it's a movement to become sustainable. Now, one of the things that I would love to share with your audience is that I was blessed to have two people from Africa, very powerful gentlemen, to attend my show in July. And one of them is considered to be the sixth richest Nigerian in Africa. The other is considered to be the guru of both fashion and entertainment. And these brothers came here because they want us to connect. I gave them an award at an awards presentation that I did. One of the brothers, his award was Hands Across Africa. The other brother, I gave him an award for his innovativeness, and he is about to build a city in Nigeria called Smart City Lagos. Smart City Lagos is going to be a duplicate of what you see in Dubai. He wants to make Africa the hub for international travelers and for people that come for luxury and things like that. So that was one of the great things that came out of the show. But the reality of it is that we got a long way to go, and we got a short time and a short window to do it in. When we look at the overall condition of the country in terms of its economic stability, it's time for us to get up and to do something for ourselves. And we got to be able to come together collectively and to remove all egos and all personalities and understand that it's our time. It's our time to get what we should be getting and what we should have gotten a long time ago.
That's beautiful. Sister Amina, are you still there? Sister Amina? All right, Brother Linda, do you have any questions?
Yes, I just wanted to ask the sister, can she say the name of her magazine again, please?
It's not, yes, ma'am. It's not a magazine. It's my Instagram page.
Oh, and it's Instagram.
Yes, ma'am. And it's Al. It's A-L underscore Nisa, N-I-S-A underscore designs. But I also have a Facebook page called Women Working Together. And you can also find a lot of information about what I've done on that Facebook page, as well as you can go to my personal Facebook page, and it's under Carmen Camilla Abdullah Williams. And you can also Google my name, Carmen Muhammad Al-Nisa Designs. And when you Google my name, I think I'm number 3 to come up in a Google search. And it has so much information about what we've been blessed to do. And Brother Raul, one of the things that I did mention to your audience, what I'd like to share with them is as a result of being blessed to do what I've been able to do on an international level, I was one of 2 designers to be a part of an international museum exhibit that started at the San Francisco Fine Arts Museum, and it ended at the Smithsonian Institute, the Cooper Hewitt Museum in New York. And I was also the only woman, Black woman, to be a part of a documentary that was put together by the Smithsonian. So we've really been blessed. And I say that in the humblest of spirits, because we've been put in some unclaimed private places that normally we don't get an inroad into if we're not a celebrity, if we're not a Beyonce, or we're not a Sean Puffy Combs or somebody like that. I've been blessed to be able to be in these spaces and to be able to lift up other Black women designers who I felt was just as talented as I, that I want the world to see.
That's beautiful. Brother,
May I ask one other question?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, sister, I wanted to ask you, because you said it takes a lot of money to put something, especially worldwide, like that. Have you ever approached like Black designers?
Well,
or angel investors?
You know what, sis? I have someone that's working with me now that's looking for angel investors for me. And yes, ma'am. But you know, sis, let me say this. What I did in Chicago was somewhat, it really was disruptive, because I brought together so many talented designers and I put them all in one show. See, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to move like that. The money will come once we show that we are united and we are all on the same page when it comes to carving out a niche in the business of fashion. We can't do anything independent, but collectively we can stand up and we can let the world know that we are here and we aren't going any damn where. We want what's rightfully ours. And so if we continue to move like that, they are going to have to acknowledge the talent that's coming from our community. But as long as we remain fragmented, then we won't have a voice. But when they see us united, it makes them stand up and recognize and give us that attention that we need to be able to move in the circles that we're trying to move in.
You're absolutely correct. Another question I need to ask you, with your packet, the people you're approaching and somebody who's helping you, have you ever approached in the NABA, which is the National Association of Black Journalists?
I have not, no ma'am.
Okay, well, make sure whoever's helping you, they have to approach them, because they'll spread the word more than quicker than anybody.
Okay, that's the National Black Journalists?
Yes, National Association of Black Journalists, yes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm writing that down.
All right.
Thank you.
Sister Amina, you back yet? She's not back. Brother Masinda, you have any questions? Brother Masinda?
No.
Okay.
Appreciate the presentation. It's something new to me. I actually saw some of the fashions on YouTube. I'm going to go to YouTube. At least you mentioned something about in Italy. I was looking at Torino Fashion Week, and it looks very well. I don't have to qualify it. You know, it's very professional, and it's looks like some super exciting to be involved with. But I appreciate the presentation. Interested in learning more.
All right, then, brother Hembrick, any questions?
No, sir. Okay. That I'm not too knowledgeable about fashion. You know, I'm a project boy and wear sweats off. So, you know, fashion is not my thing, but I am about, you know, self-reliance and us producing some things. And I've been saying for years, we need to get into producing, you know, products, you know, that we can exchange, you know, with each other. And we can start with undergarments, you know, and until we get something together. But, you know, stuff like that I don't know if that's a smaller scale or not, but creates jobs, you know, producing, trucking, sales, you know, stuff like that. So I'm all for it, but seem like she's talking the high-end dollar stuff that I'm not privy to. So, and I'm not on Facebook or Instagram or none of that, but hopefully I can find out how to get to it on the internet some kind of way. All right.
Well, brother, if you don't mind me saying this, Amira, you know, I want to share with the brother that just spoke. You know, we're all on the same level, sir. You know, it's just that I am appealing to a certain niche audience. What you are saying is something that's needed every day. And that's why never underestimate the power of something that's just simple, something as simple as underwear. This is something that people have to have. They have to buy it. They don't have to go in the store and buy $1,000 suit, but they darn sure have to go in the store and buy underwear because it's necessary for you to have that to be clothed properly. So, you know, that's something that you really might want to think about and look into. And I also will give your viewers or your listening audience, the brother also that I bought from Africa, he just launched the first online international shopping portal. And it's called Agogo. And that's A-G-O-G-O. The brothers out of Nigeria, they're open for free trade. In other words, it doesn't necessarily have to be fashion. It can be a beauty product. It can be art. It can be whatever. But he's opening up that online portal so that people, Black folk here in America who has a product, who wants to market their product to their brothers and sisters in Africa, will have a free will to do that. There's no charge to put your product on his site. None of that. And the thing that we have going with Africa right now is that Africa is a free trade zone. So you don't pay to import or to export. And so a situation like this could be a great situation for anyone who's interested in establishing themselves with international trade.
And sister, before you go, can you repeat you had mentioned something earlier about how to, you know, how to view the stuff that you're doing online.
Yes, sir. Right now, my online store is not up, but you can go to al_Nisa_designs. You can also visit our website for the fashion show, which gives you a great overview of everything that I just spoke about. You go to www.chicago, and that's with a capital C, mfw.com. On that website, you'll find everything that I've shared with you this evening.
Okay, and you said that you said the second word was NISA, N-I-C-A?
N-I-S-A. Underscore Designs.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sister Making It Happen, Dr. Shabazz. This is Carmen Abdullah Muhammad. She's a designer of clothes and featuring mostly Muslim women. She's an author of a magazine that I hope she started republishing called Kids Sports Beat. She's an excellent writer. She produced that magazine herself, and I still got copies of it. And as I said, she's just an excellent hard worker. She's based in Chicago. She just was featured in a number of magazines for her work and noted for her work in design. And she's working with Black women, working together to encourage women to be entrepreneurs and to come up with product. Do you have any questions, Sister Shabazz?
First of all, greetings and assalamu alaikum, Sister Muhammad, and to the family, Hotep. So I got on the presentation a little late, so I didn't hear the full presentation. But in looking at the title and the modest fashion, I'm excited to hear and see the styles, the outfits. I think this is something important for us as women to have options so that we can present ourselves appropriately and professionally so that we can command and receive the necessary respect that is due to us. So I am looking forward to seeing the fashion. Please share your information, your website, your links so that with the Community Education Network community so that we can follow up and I can follow up and see the wonderful fashion that you are part of.
Thank you. I'm so honored, sis. I'm really honored and I'm really, really humbled. I really am. Anytime that we can have an opportunity to have a personal conversation like we're having to create that necessary dialogue that's much needed to inspire and to encourage each other to continue in this struggle because the struggle is real. So I'm so honored and thank you so much.
Yeah, and one thing, in being consistent with Brother Hembrick and Carmen, one of the things that will empower us if we produce more products and buy it among ourselves is that Joe said that, that's the dollar and Machinda. That makes the dollar go around in our neighborhood because we not only own the production, the circulation, and then we spend the money in the neighborhood. And that's the beauty of getting Black people to come up with cultural products, cultural apparatus that get us out of the European look, the European products, and grow our own and develop our own. And that's the beauty of Carmen, who always had that vision that, you know, why put a tie around your neck? The guy used to put a rope around your neck. Why wear African clothing that we sell, we produce, and then you buy it from a Black person. And then they buy other things in the neighborhood. But Carmen, tell us a little bit about the magazines you were featured in.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, I was, first of all, nominated during Women's History Month by the Modest Fashion Group in Manila, Philippines, which was indeed an honor. You know, I linked up with them when I did my recent fashion event in Torino, Italy, where we did a virtual show. And one of the designers out of the Philippines was actually a princess. And I invited her to be a part of the show. And, you know, unbeknownst to me, the whole entire group of women in the Philippines who were Islamic when it came around to Women's History Month. They said, we want to nominate that sister with that melanin in her skin over there in America. So that was truly, truly, truly an honor. It was an honor because, you know, we represent the Asiatic original people. And, you know, we are the vanguards of the world. And when we treat people with dignity and with respect, we get back that dignity and that respect. And that was one of the magazines. Another publication that I was blessed to make the cover for was the Al Huda Center of Modest Design. The Al Huda Center of Modest Design is not just the Al Huda Center of Modest Design. They're also the Al Huda Center of Banking, meaning that they represent the largest Islamic conglomerate when it comes to certification of halal products. They also made me their partner in Dubai, in their Center of Modest Fashion and Design. They are in over 33 Islamic countries around the world. That was another magazine. The first editorial that we received was when I went to Torino, Italy, and I was the only Black designer there when I was blessed to win three awards, the Rising Star Award, the Louis Vuitton Brand Ambassador Award, and the At Film Awards. And the next day, we made the cover of the Kaji Times newspaper in the Middle East. And it said, the pink hijab ladies stole the show at Torino Fashion Week. I've also been blessed to have several features in the Final Call newspaper, which is the worldwide news publication of the Nation of Islam. And there have been others that I've been a part of. When I did the San Francisco Fine Arts Museum, I ended up in their periodical. I ended up in the Milan Library of Fashion in Milan, Italy, which they put your name and your name of your collection in their fashion library. And when people come to Milan to study designers and fashion, you know, they will also see my name there. And I'm the first Black woman to ever be featured in the Milan Library of Fashion. So even though the economic windfall has not, it's not equal to what I've received visually, to me, the visual is just as powerful as the money that will come, because it allows the world to look at us differently and to see us through an authentic eye and not a sound bite that they get when they turn on the evening news. So I'm excited about that.
Now, how is the Islamic community supporting the fashions pretty well?
Oh, yes, sir.
Women?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, we are trying to, what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to pivot into a more of an international environment. And I say that because that's where a lot of the expendable funding is. When you're not an iconic designer that has an institution like a Dolce & Gabbana or a Marc Jacobs or one of these other white folks, you know, you have to be able to carve out a niche with a particular clientele. And so that is where a lot of the fashion or the style of fashion that I make is purchased. It's also one of the most stable economies in the world. They don't tell you that, but that is where everybody is going. And this is why now you'll see a lot of the major designers like the Louis Vuittons and the Dolce & Gabbanas and the Calvin Kleins they're beginning to cater to modest fashion because they're looking at the Car Report, which told them that last year alone in retail fashion in the modest industry, it represented a $355 billion industry. They're saying that within the next 7 to 10 years, modest fashion will represent a $1 trillion industry. So you already know that they want to monopolize entertainment, sports, and everything else. So you know they want to put a monopoly on the modest fashion. But we're saying, hold up. We ready to carve out a little bit of that niche. We may not get the $1 trillion, but we want to get something.
So is there any other challenges of Black women? I mean, what is, you know, some of the issues that y'all run into? Let's say, for instance, as you say, you have Black women working together. Is it just fashion, the Black women working together?
Oh, no.
Or y'all do other things?
No, that I established women working together to be a catalyst to address issues that were crucial to the positive growth and development of Black women. And when you say that, that means that you're tapping into every aspect of the development of the woman, from education to mothering to health to all of those things. So that is what Women Working Together represents. And each year I do an annual situation that centers around my passion for fashion, because I also see that as a catalyst and a stronghold for us getting economic sustainability to be able to do the necessary programs that we need to do. So we don't just deal with fashion, but I understand the power of fashion. I understand that it crosses over all racial, social, and economic barriers. So I'm using that because I'm passionate about it, and I'm passionate about the women, and I want the women to understand their value as a woman. So I'm using the fashion to address all of that. But at the end of the day, it's about us being able to inspire each other. It's about us being able to network with each other. It's about us locking arms and being able to join together to produce what we need to produce so that our children and our young women have a future, so that they're not being snatched off the street and becoming an object of a sex person or someone who's out there grabbing our children because they're on the street. There's a level of consciousness that we're trying to bring about, not just through women working together, but through fashion.
Okay. So fashion is a tool that you use to
yes.
get women to fun. What are some of the major issues you see Black women face with today with regards to just being a Black woman from the standpoint of your experience in the fashion world? I'm pretty sure you run across in those different countries, different issues women face. The Shia law affects y'all fashion in Muslim countries?
You know, I think I always try and look at things from a lot of different perspectives, Professor Raw. And I think one of the biggest challenges for any woman, whether she lives here, lives in Dubai, lives in London, it doesn't matter where she lives, she has to understand her value. And she has to understand that she's the second self of God. The women are the first teachers of our children. As Black women and as Black people, we've already proven how resilient we are. So some of the issues that I see today when I look at us is just our day-to-day challenges, being able to navigate through that terrain, knowing who you are, what you are, your value, what you represent, and knowing how to navigate through it. You know, Yeah, there's a lot of things going on right now. Yeah, we have a lot of challenges, but think about the challenges that our ancestors had when they were brought here to the hell of North America. Think about the challenges that they had when they were on the plantations. Think about the challenges that we have every day just to be relevant to ourselves and to the community. So it's no different. Our challenges are that we must understand who we are and we must understand our value. Once we understand that and we work in our purpose in knowing who we are, then we'll be able to deal with all of the things that are coming our way.
Okay. Sister Megan, have you got any more questions? Sister Jabaz?
No. I have a family member who is also I'm not sure she was in a fashion show. She's a Muslim. She wears her hijab and all the modest clothes. And I just recently sent her while we're on the line a message that I got a chance to be part of a talk with Sister Carmen Muhammad, and I'm hoping that Sister Olaya knows of Sister Muhammad. But it's just exciting, and the more that we can see options in terms of a modest dress, I think the better choices we can make. Again, we're in this age where Black women are out there, and we need to present ourselves in a way that we get the respect that we're due. And so therefore, I am so thankful to hear. And like I said, I think this message is something that all sisters need to hear so that they can see and have choices as they're, raising their daughters and presenting to their daughters how to present themselves to the world. I think it's important that we present ourselves in a powerful stand. And that's with the modest look, in my opinion, gives us the most powerful stand. So again, I appreciate what Sister Muhammad is sharing.
Okay. Sister Linda, you have any more questions?
No, I really don't have a question. It's very interesting what she's saying, but I just wanted to add a couple things and ask a question. The first thing, Sister Carmen, when you were going all the way back and you were talking about your angel investors, there are several men that are angel investors that are in the fashion industry, like Damon Johns. And you need to, if you can just send him a proposal with a list, a host of them. And when I'm going to get in touch with you and give you a host of men that are fashion in the fashion industry that may become an angel investor for you. And the second thing is, since I'm talking about men, are there any men, or do you have any kind of men in your fashion shows or anything? Because, you talk about fashion, you think about women. But what about the brothers?
No, ma'am. The brother that joined us from Africa, he did a man's line. So no, we're definitely not opposed to that. That's what I'm saying. Across the board, we are open to interact with everyone. At our next annual Modest Fashion Week event, there's a brother out of Philly, Ron Welch, who is the father of Eve the Rapper. And Ron is known all over the East Coast for his tailored custom men's suiting. And I intend to pull that brother in on this next show, as well as we'll have a lot more participation from the motherland, from some of those brothers there that are creating clothing as well.
Right. And also looking to people like Steve Harvey, because he has a foundation for the fashion industry also.
I wasn't aware of that. That's interesting. Yes, ma'am. I wasn't aware of that. Well, I'm willing to take it, sis. I'm willing to take whatever information that you have. And I think that, we just have to keep doing what we're doing. And hopefully we will attract those like the Steve Harveys who can step up and can help to elevate this thing to a whole nother level as well. So I'm open for that, sis. Yes, ma'am. Whatever information you have, we welcome it.
Well, sister, you know that women, we're their first teachers. So you look at some of the rappers and the way they're dressed, we're, like you said earlier, the mothers are the first teachers. So if we start working with some of the young men that are rappers that have the money, that need to be dressed more modest. So maybe that's a whole other market for you.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, you know, but in all truth and honesty, you know, we have a tendency to be followers and not leaders, sis. And we wait for things to be stamped and approved by people that really don't give a damn about us. Absolutely, you know, and that's been our problem.
You're absolutely correct.
So, that's the whole idea of building a strong collective of women and stepping out there and doing things that I'm doing. When I did this show in Chicago, one of the founders of Paris Fashion Week came, and she came to see the show because we established a relationship when I was over in Paris, and I've done Paris Fashion Week 3 times. And when she called me and said, "Are you coming this year?" I said, "Well, when are you coming over here?" That's what I'm talking about. So those are the kind of moves that we've got to make, because they have to see that we're united and we're strong. And then we really will be able to penetrate this thing. And that's why I say our unity is our success.
Okay, brother Masinda, any questions?
No, just like I said, just appreciate the information. This is pretty deep, just to listen to someone that's, you know, not only an entrepreneur, but, you know, entrepreneurial spirit with social consciousness and you know,
time. Well, I can assure you that she is conscious. I've been on Sister Carmen Abdullah, and she has really risen to the heights that very few women of knowing who she is, where she is, and what she got to do. I mean, she has created so many programs and created so many activities around uplifting Black people for the nation, as well as for itself and project that I bear witness to. And I enjoyed every time I worked with her on projects. It was always successful. Brother Joe, you have any more questions, Brother Hembrick?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Sister Amina, you back yet?
Amina is a dynamic. If I have to tell y'all, that sister is bad. That sister is a dynamic individual. She is an entrepreneur. She is a go-getter. I mean, her fashions is out of this world. I am so honored and so proud for her to be my sister. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, we got some people that could shut this thing down, literally shut this fashion thing down. But we got to get unified and we've got to get the recognition. But I just wanted to say that about her. You know, I don't know why she, you know, she's probably gotten tied up, but that's my sister and I love her. And when I tell you she is at the top of the game, she's at the top of the game. You don't get no more at the top of the game than her, you know.
Yeah, well, I've been to her store. Across from Essawan, and her husband, Brother Larry Kazee, they created that juice, I forget what they called it.
And Honey Punch.
Honey Punch, yeah, you're right, Linda.
it is delicious.
And I've been knowing them for years, and you're right. She's had her business open in the Mer Park for over 20 years.
Yes.
And, and that's hard to do. Most Black businesses fail.
Yes, sir.
Many small businesses, not just Black businesses. But she's been able to hold on, and they're fighting over there in the Mer Park to keep the Mer Park Black, a center for Black culture expressions and activities. And so I was hoping that she'd have a chance to express that. But in the meantime, Sister Carmen, what's going on in Chicago? Is there any issues? I know you got the woman, a mayor, and I know that they're doing a lot with regards to trying to curb violence and the shootings in there. Is there any perspective that you have on that?
Well, you know, my perspective on any and all of it is what's going on in Chicago is going on around the world. It's a mentality that exists. And we have been taught by people that don't care about us to have a level of safe self-hatred that we shouldn't have. And so, you know, my mindset with that is, again, when I can bring the women together and when we can network and we can sit down and we can have positive dialogue, then if you can raise a woman to a certain level of consciousness, you can raise a family and then you can raise a community. So to me, that's kind of my perspective on it. Chicago has a lot of things that go on that are not positive, you know, very hurtful. You know, that was one of the things when I was blessed to go to Dubai. I like to share this with your audience. You know, going to Dubai was really a very spiritual journey for me. And it was spiritual because it was the first time that I'd ever went into a country that was an Islamic country. And of course, you know, they have a level of wealth that exists there that makes them independent of a lot of things. But the event that I went to was hosted by the King of Dubai on his mall. And I sat there. The event that we was there for was for 7 days. And every night, the event would be held on this mall. And I would sit there, me and the sisters that went with me. It was probably about 15 of us. Then it was one of my brothers that designed a handbag line that I invited to come. And he brought 30 of his family members with him. But as I was sitting there one night and I was looking at and studying the culture, I watched these people come to this mall. And what you would see is you would see the elder parents walking. And it was almost as if they were walking in a procession. Then behind them, you would see the daughter and her husband and their baby. Then behind them, you would see the young teenage girls. And then behind them, you would see the young teenage boys, and they would have on the long white robes, but they had taken the baseball caps and turned them to the back. And that was their way of relating to hip hop. And, you know, I sat there and I watched children go in a restroom, and the parents would be way on the other side of the mall, and you would have 5 and 4 year old children in a restroom. Wasn't nobody gonna molest them. Wasn't nobody gonna snatch them. You had young men leaving the mall, driving Bentleys and Rolls Royces and Mercedes Benz. And as I'm standing next to someone who was a royal family member, it was like 12 o'clock at night. And I looked at her and I said, "Sis, you don't worry about your sons getting home." And she looked at me puzzled. She said, "No, ma'am, we don't worry about that because we don't have that problem here. We don't have drunk drivers. We don't have carjackings." So I'm sharing all that with you because I said, here's a country that's governing themselves, and they have set up a rule and a standard of laws that they are going to make the people exist by, but they also have built themselves up independently. Dubai is only 18 years old. or maybe 20 years old, and it was a desert. And what the Emirati people did was they took all their wealth and they put it together to build what would come and become a playground for the entire world. Now it's looked at as one of the richest travel places in the world for people to go to. So it just made me think, this is what we need to be doing as a people. We need to be pooling our resources together, and we need to be creating communities that are safe havens for our children, that our children can have a life of a child where they're not inundated with so much stuff that they can't even look at their future in a positive way. So I did one night, I was on the mall and I had a breakdown. I mean, I literally started crying. And I was crying because I thought about my ancestors coming through the Middle Passage. And I thought about all the great Black leaders. And I said, damn, it's time for us to have some of this heaven like what they got over here.
That's beautiful. Sister Amin, Queen Amina, are you there? Queen Amina? Right, there's Amina Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing better. I'm working on it. I heard Carmen teaching at Islam.
You know,
yes, ma'am. It's about it's about separation. When we look at everything that's going on in this world, in America, and really throughout the world, you know, we have to definitely separate and be a clean glass next to the dirty glass. And, you know, that's what the fashion statement is really saying also, the modest wear. You know, the whole world's taking their clothes off and we're standing up saying, no, we're going to put our clothes on and we're covering everything. And imagine that, you know, so great show. I enjoyed what I heard.
But just tell us about what's going on at Leimert Park.
Oh, it's a lot going on in Leimert Park. There's several different situations going on. At presently, the merchants are striving and trying to, not trying, the merchants are going to they're working to buy a building. And there's a lot of controversy around that, but some of the merchants have came together and decided they want to buy a building in unity. And there's a lot of pros and cons around it. I don't quite understand it. I mean, there's issues, you know, everywhere. So I say, let the brothers buy the building. If they can, you know, if they can afford to do it and if they can come together and pull their resources, why not let them do it? Because if they don't do it, some other entity is going to come into Leimert Park and buy it and do it. I mean, the building is $6 million. And these brothers have came up with a way to put a down payment on it and to go into escrow. And I just think the community should support them. I'm supporting them.
Is that the total experience?
That's from Hot and Cool down to Soul Folks. That's Tony. That's Dr. Dove, Akil, Umar, and a couple other shops that are all coming together and pooling their resources and striving to buy the building. You have, I mean, I'm just amazed that the comments and the controversy that the communities, some people are saying they don't want them to buy the building because of their past experiences in life. Okay, so how many Black men do you know that haven't been to jail? How many Black men do you know that haven't done something? You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's irrelevant. That's one of the big issues. Well, so-and-so been in jail 15 years, and so what? He turned his life around, he's doing better, and he's trying to do something for himself. So leave the man alone. You know, so it's a lot of little bites that are going on and being taken place in Leimert Park to me that are so unnecessary. Instead of focusing on the bigger picture, if Black people don't buy up Leimert Park, guess who's going to buy it? Other people.
What about Esuwan Books?
Esuwan, they're leaving. Their last day is December month is December. They're tired. They're going to retirement. They just said they're tired. And also, you know, you have to look at today's climate, the internet, the Google search. I mean, you know, there's so many ways to get information and to read things online. So I'm pretty sure the book business is not, doing as quite as well as it was in the past. So I think that has something to do with it as well. So mm-hmm. I think that they made this conscious decision that they just want to retire. And I understand it. Don't you understand that I'm around? Sometimes it's time to retire.
Yeah, but I'm retired. But let me just tell you this. What about your business? Tell us about your business and what goes on in your store, because you've been there over 20 years and you've held up and,
from the metro to the, you name it. It's been so many issues, so many things that have came over there that have happened, the rebuilding, restructuring of the vision, the taking of the parking lots, you know, but Allah is God. At the end of the day, you know, I just stay prayed up, brother, and my family is very supportive. And we just, you know, we just believe in the unseen. I have the faith of the mustard seed and I believe everything's going to be okay. I mean, that's why the online business is so good today, is because you don't have to have foot traffic. You don't really have to have that much foot traffic if you build your online business. So that's what we've done. We're a family business. We have different components. I dress the Sisters in the Nation of Islam. I'm a designer. I do fashion shows. I do festivals. I do events. So there's multiple ways to stay open and stay, you know, keep your business going. And that's what we do. We create and we think outside the box.
Okay. Is there any specific projects you and Brother Kazee pushing?
Say that one more time.
Any specific projects that you are pushing? I know you have the juice.
The juice, the African cultural clothing for men, women, and children. We also make clothing for men, women, and children. We have a rites of passage program for teenage girls right now that I'm enjoying. It's 21 young teenagers from 15 to 17, and we're teaching them entrepreneurial skills. Because when they graduate from high school, Crenshaw High, Dorsey High, then they don't have jobs waiting on them. And so I'm trying to instill in them good work ethics as well as how to make jewelry, how to sew, how to cook, you know, all the things that I learned in my MGT class, you know, ups for the Nation of Islam, because we were taught all those things in our class. And so now it's just time to turn it over and teach the youth in our community. We can't keep it in the mosque. We got to come out into the community. So we're about that right now. That's what we're doing. We're giving it to the community.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. Beautiful. Well, Carmen, you have any closing comments?
No, I'm just excited. I told y'all she's a bad sister. I'm telling you.
I've been to her shop. I've been there.
Yes, sir. I don't have any closing comments, Raw, other than I just want us to stay prayed up, to be patient, and to come together, you know, and unify so that we can get what we need to get. As sister said, we need to separate, but we need to have somewhere to go. We need land. We need hospitals. We need all of that stuff. So, you know, I'm just optimistic that in this journey and what I'm doing, that Allah God is going to bless us. He's going to bless us to become economically solvent, to do what we need to do. Mm-hmm.
Well, Carmen, I look at it like this. I was in Dubai as well. And as you said, they've been 50 years, I think it was 50 years ago, when they discovered that they had oil in the ground. And then I think back on our history, you know, even in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, those blacks, they gave them the worst land. And then one day they found out they had oil under the ground. So I think Master Farah Muhammad, Allah, who came to the person of Master Farah Muhammad, is going to figure out what it is that we as Black people, I don't know if it's going to be oil under the ground, but there's going to be something that's going to set it off. Well, we will come into an understanding of who we are and what Allah is going to bless us with. I think the money is coming, and when it comes, it's going to come in abundance, and we're going to all just
be able to live in harmony and peace. That's the vision. That's the future that's coming for all of us.
Yes, ma'am.
Stay prayed up.
I bear witness.
Yes, bear witness to it.
All right, Brother Linda, you have any closing question?
No, I do not.
Oh, what about you, Sister Make It Happen?
Thank you again. Again, assalamu alaikum. And I'm truly blessed and fortunate to have this moment with you. Thank you.
Mashinda, any closing comments?
Thank you.
Okay. I hear you, Brother Mashinda. Mashinda's out in the South. He's down in New York.
All right.
Black youth all the time. Brother Hendrick, historian Hendrick, do you have any questions?
Oh, sir.
All right. Well, look here. Next Monday, we're going to have Brother G2 Siddiqui. He's one of the founders of Black August. And as I read about Sister Carmen, in August of 1992, she was nominated by the Beverly Hills Women's Organization, Women of Substance, as one of the most influential African American women in the Los Angeles area. So this was keeping with Black August because she dealt with that. And at the same time, we're going to continue our discussion about Black August and with one of the founders of Black August, who has some very interesting things. He was in San Quentin when they started it. He'll be here next Wednesday on the 22nd so that we can get a direct understanding of what Black August. I want to thank Sister Linda Shorter for hooking us up with Sister Amina, Queen Amina Muhammad, as well as Carmen. When I talked to Sister Amina, she said she had a fashion, she was doing doing fashion show in Chicago. I asked her, did she know Carmen in there? Like I told you, I've been knowing Carmen for years and knowing Larry Kazee for years, and they are really a part of the movement, the progress of us as a people, a living example of what we can be and what we should be doing. So we're going to shut it down now, but I just want to say this will be on YouTube. If you have any friends that want to listen to it and go back over it, and we're going to have other unique individuals that have made a contribution to our mental, spiritual, and physical liberation on our show, Conscious Corner. I forgot who's going to be on Wednesday. Brother Rashiki, are you still here? He has somebody this Wednesday.
Yeah, Professor Ra, I'm here. I'm just hanging on here. We're not going to do Wednesday. We're doing tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to do it on Wednesday because taking my daughter to her college orientation. So that's an event that I can't miss. But we have a guest tomorrow, Kathy Williams. She'll be on tomorrow.
What you going to discuss?
Her son. Let me pull it up, show everybody. Just one second, real quick. So here it is. Okay, so she's going to discuss, the topic is going to be about juveniles being tried as adults in the prison system or in the juvenile system. So she's going to discuss that. And I don't know how her son is related to the situation, but his name is David Lee Player III. So that's tomorrow.
All right. Well, listen, Sister Carmen and Queen Amina, we are honored that y'all stopped by to give us the wealth of your knowledge, wisdom, and experience. And it is just beautiful to see strong Black women that have a proven track record of sacrifice and commitment to our liberation. And we really thank you. Thank you for being on the show. And if you ever get any comments or anything that you want to express again, just give me a call and we'll book you on the show. Again, this will be on YouTube as soon as Brother Rasha Keith feel better and hook it up, and we will send it out to you so that you can share with others. Again, I want to thank Sister Linda Shorter for her work in introducing me to powerful people that have been a part of Conscious Corner. So we want to thank everyone for tuning in, and we hope to continue the struggle and wish nothing but, we predict nothing but success for you, Queen Amina and Carmen. And we just want to thank y'all for being a part of our show. Sante,
all right. Okay. Can they stay on just for a second after the recording? So, okay. Conscious Corner, everybody, and each one teach one. Have a good evening. Peace.